And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, being heard around the globe on Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, shortwave out of Nashville, Tennessee. I'm here at the studio and ministry in Austin, Texas. Jerry Barrett is my producer, and he's the engineer as well here, and taking care of all the knobs and the levers and things, getting out this message, and he'll put it on the internet 24/7 at 7 days a week on powerofprophecy.com on the internet. And then, of course, we have a new show. It's not a new show, but we're now on a new network, the American Voice Network. You can get the schedule of that by going to American Voice Network, just Googling in those words, American Voice Network, and then clicking on schedule, and you'll see the Tex Mars Power of Prophecy show now on the American Voice Network. Well, today I'd like to talk to you about something, well, it's not the most important thing in the world, but for a lot of people, it is. It is the most important. I'll talk to you today about money. Money. In fact, we're going to be discussing, exposing, looking at the Lord of money. There is a Lord of money. You know, I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord of souls because, well, only He can give eternal life. Only He can cleanse a man's soul and make him fit for heaven. Or a woman, of course, for that matter. So Jesus Christ is the keeper of the keys to heaven. And He also is able to banish a person forever to hell. He opens the door that no man can shutteth. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. And He shutteth the door and no man can open it. Well, but there is a Lord of money. Believe it or not, God gives to His children, His people here on earth, exactly the amount of money they need. Now, you may want more. All of us would like to have a little bit more cash in our pockets to pay our bills and such, but the Bible says that God will give you what He believes you need if you're faithful to Him. And you will not go begging for bread, nor will you be without shelter. He doesn't promise you Cadillacs and Lexuses and all those things. And so if you have a nice car and a nice home and nice clothes and you can afford all the luxuries and accessories of life, well, good for you. Many Christians have, but that's not guaranteed. And you really should be thankful for whatever it is that God gives you. And sometime He wants us to have adversity in our life. You may be made poor, or you may not have as much as you want, and there might be a reason for it. You say, well, I don't understand what the reason would be. Well, you know, remember, God's a lot wiser than you. He knows what you need. Now, I don't want to talk about God because, well, that should be a given for you if you read the Bible. You know about the rewards and merits of Jesus Christ, but I want to talk to you about the devil. I like to expose the devil. I like to uplift and honor God, but I love also to expose the devil. And he is the Lord of money, but he has a human agent. Isn't that interesting? Since money is of such massive importance to the devil, to his angels, and to the devil's people here on earth, I want to talk to you about that money. You know, Emanuel Swedenborg was a Swedish false Christian, and Swedenborg claimed to be a prophet. I have a copy of his book. It's about 1,000 pages long. He was a false prophet, but he claimed that this was back in the 16th century, I think it was, in Sweden. And by the way, there is a Swedenborgian church in America today. That's right. People believe in the prophecies of Emanuel Swedenborg, the Swedish false prophet, even to this day. And they have created churches that revere and honor his writings. And they try to mix it with Christianity. They claim that he was a Christian mystic. Of course, he was nothing of the sort. Swedenborg was simply a Satanist who claimed to be a Christian mystic and prophet. But Swedenborg once wrote that he was visited by the spirits. That would be demon spirits, of course, not angels from heaven. He says the spirits were quite fascinating entities. And he said he noticed something. They love money. And they would request of Mr. Swedenborg that he take gold coins and silver coins from, you know, his home where he had it, you know, kept, you know, stored, or out of his pockets or his purse, so to speak, and lay it out. And he said the spirits would love to play with the money. They had a fascination with money. They loved the shininess of it. They just, something about it they craved. I found that quite interesting, that devils love money. They love the appearance of it even. That's why I believe global currencies are quite interesting, because they contain many symbols of satanic works. They do. Our own $1 bill contains Satan's boast that he is going to conquer the whole world. Novus Ordo Seclorum, New World Order. And he started back in ancient Egypt and Babylon, of course. And there you have the Great Pyramid on her $1 bill. And the all-seeing eye of Osiris, the sun god, who is really Lucifer in disguise, right there on the $1 bill of the United States. In Israel today, their currency is called the shekel. The shekel. And would you believe, on the 500 shekel note, there is a picture of Lord Rothschild. We have George Washington and Thomas Jefferson on our currency and coins and so forth. We have Andrew Jackson and all, Hamilton. Well, Ulysses S. Grant, one of the bills. Well, they have Rothschild in Israel. In fact, did you know that Tel Aviv was founded by Rothschild? There's a branch of the Rothschild Bank there. And in Israel, I believe it's in Jerusalem, there is a Rothschild Boulevard. I think there's something like that in Tel Aviv as well. Honoring Rothschild with the 500 shekel note. Rothschild is the Lord of Money. And I've quoted Heinrich Heine, the German philosopher, a Jew himself, who wrote that money is the god of the Jews and Rothschild is his prophet. Well, so the Lord of Money is Satan, but there is an earthly imitation of Satan, and he is also, as far as the people of earth and the disciples of Satan are concerned, their Lord here on this planet. He's king of Israel, secret king of Britain, covert ruler of America through the Jewish neocons and bankers of Wall Street, and he is the Lord of Money. Remember that Paul said in Timothy, the letter to Timothy in the Bible, that it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Not a Benjamin Franklin maxim, but the Word of God says it. And Jesus told the Jews, you must choose between God and mammon, that is, God and money. Because money represents Satan. And an inordinate desire or love of money is the same, and listen to me, friends, is the same as if you were fornicating with the world. You just think about that. Now, notice I didn't say money is evil. Notice I didn't say the desire to make a good living and make money is ungodly. No. I said the love of money. You love money more than God. You love money, probably a lot of people do, more than they love their wives or their husbands or their children. Some people are obsessed with money. And Satan has a hold of their hearts and minds. And all they can think about is making money, more and more money. They go into debt and so forth, and it just gets way out of bounds. Well, I want to talk to you about the Lord of money, that is Lord Rothschild. I want to talk about his White House pawns, that's P-A-W-N-S, and the criminal power of the world's richest and most wicked banks. You know, Henry Ford, the great industrialist who founded really the assembly line and Ford Motor Company, wrote a series of articles published in the Dearborn, Michigan Independent newspaper. They were put into a book that you can still order to this very day called The International Jew. Can you imagine the head of a corporation? He was like, you know, the Michael Dell or the Bill Gates or the Warren Buffett of his day. And can you imagine Henry Ford writing, or one of the today's titans of the business world or the industrial world, writing a book exposing the Jews? Why, it would never happen. The Jews are too powerful. And in fact, they retaliated against Henry Ford, and he had to shut his mouth finally and quit writing about them, or the Ford Motor Company would have been destroyed. But his book is a testament. He says in the book that it's not just one bank that the Jews own through Rothschild that gives him such power, but it is an international system, a network of banks. Now, there is in London, England, a bank called the N.M., that's Nathan M. Rothschild and Sons. And this bank is powerful in itself. There is also a Paris, France Rothschild Bank, and there's a branch of it in New York City and so forth. But really, it by itself is not a powerful bank. But the networking and control of other world banks is what does the job. And by the way, the late Eustace Mullins, a fantastic exposer of Rothschild and the Jews of the New World Order, wrote in his book, The World Order, Our Secret Rulers, that it was this international network of banks, which Rothschild either owns covertly or he controls, that is able to exert such power against the people and to control the governments of this planet. These banks are not only rich that are affiliated with Rothschild, but they are wicked. They do wicked works. And so when Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, recently told the press, I'm doing God's work, he meant it. His God is Lucifer. He's doing God's work as a banker. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about this bank. Now, first, I want to explain to you that there is a global conspiracy. No doubt about it. And I want to talk to you about the 10 aspects of this global conspiracy. And along the way, we will see how the Rothschilds fit in as the Lord or Lords of money. The first aspect of this global conspiracy is that it is global in scope. This conspiracy is worldwide, gigantic, involves many peoples, languages, ethnic groups, and nations. It may be that the United States is the sole remaining superpower, but there are many others where Rothschild and his banks have such influence. You know, the book of Daniel says that last day's beast system shall, quote unquote, devour the whole earth. Devour the whole earth. Now, second, they have a religion. Oh, yes. These conspirators connected with the Lord of Money, Rothschild, and the devil, worship a strange god of forces rather than a personal god. Of course, eventually they worship the devil. But the god of forces is an energy force. He is a mystical, magical, black, satanic aura or atmosphere or spirit. The spirit of Beelzebub and Satan. And he's called the god of forces in the prophetic book of Daniel in the Bible. And he is able to delude the entire world. Because they love not the truth, then God allows them to be sent a spirit of delusion. And so they worship, instead of God, the true God, a strange god of forces. And Daniel says that the people of the world will heap together huge sums of money, gems, precious stones, to this god of forces. A third aspect of this global conspiracy of the Rothschilds and the Lord of Money is that it controls people. This strong delusion comes about because of mass hypnosis. TV, all kinds of media, from cartoon, comic books to, video games, entertainment of all sorts, movies, the music industry. Mass hypnosis. And this means that the people will be dumbed down, unable to decipher what's going on around them. And so, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, they will believe the lie. Now, fourth, there will be a ruling elite in these last days involved in the Lord of Money's conspiracy. A small group will control the whole world. It says in Revelation 13, verse 8, and in 17:12-17, it explains some of the characteristics of this ruling elite. It says there will be 10 world leaders. They will be of one mind, and they will give all of their power and strength unto the beast. In other words, they will basically give allegiance to one supreme leader. I believe that's happening today with Rothschild. And Rothschild will preside over, and this is the fifth aspect. And by the way, I should have told you that actually these 10 aspects of the New World Order are only published in one location. It is my book, Dark Majesty. Dark Majesty. And I'm going to tell you later in this program how you can get this book, Dark Majesty by Tex Mars, The Secret Brotherhood and the Magic of 1,000 Points of Light. You'll remember that Senior Bush, as president, often talked about 1,000 points of light. This book explains what that is. The satanic coded message contained within that strange linguistic phrase. And on pages 45 and 46, I talk about this conspiracy specifically, and I give you these 10 traits or aspects. And I even give you the Bible verses that prophesy they will occur in the last days. So you can go to the Bible, you can see what Bible verses predict or prophesy them, and you can see that God is masterminding this whole thing. You say, wow, God is one of the conspirators? Oh, no, listen. He pulls the wool, we might say, in the vernacular. He deceives Satan also, so that Satan believes he can win. Somewhere, he's confused. He has a jumbled up mind. Remember, he's double-minded. And a double-minded man or devil is unstable in all his ways. That's what the Bible says about men, and it applies to devils as well. But eventually, the devil will realize he's made a big mistake once again. And then he will be furious because he knows his days are short. And then he will go about in fury seeking to destroy mankind in the world, knowing that he has but a limited time You remember those devils that Jesus Christ came upon. They're in the tombs. They were all in one man. They called themselves Legion. There were so many devils or demons in one man's body. And when Jesus simply walked nearby, the devils cried out in torment. Oh yes, the very presence of Jesus gives torment to the devils. I like that. I like that. And they cried out, Jesus of Nazareth, what have we to do with thee? Why have you come before our time? They know they have an allotted time on this earth. And Jesus is supposed to give them their time, you might say, in the sun. Since they have caused men to worship the sun god. I'll just put it that way. But you see, they were so upset and frustrated. It's not our time yet. Why have you come now? Their time will come. Meanwhile, they seek to destroy and plunder. And that's what they're doing. Now, number 5 of these 10 traits of Rothschild's New World Order. And all of these are being carried out in America through Obama. But no more than other pawns of the White House, such as Bill Clinton, such as George Senior Bush, such as George W. Bush or Bush Jr., they call him the shrub, and now, of course, Barack Obama. All these are White House pawns of Lord Rothschild. And they are right now constructing an international economic order. That's number 5. Construction of an international economic order. The super rich, with their lord of money, Rothschild, overseeing, and the bankers of Wall Street and the city of London, are prospering through finance, international trade, and commerce. And you can read about that in Revelation 13 and Ezekiel. And they'll have such a system of control with this international economic order that no man can buy or sell unless you have the mark of the name or the number of the beast. It's getting to that, isn't it? You know, I remember some years ago when I was younger, I only had one credit card and I couldn't find it. And I'd flown into an airport. I was supposed to speak somewhere. And I went over to the rental car place and I said, you know, I have a car reserved. They said, okay, good. What is your name? I said, Tex Mars. And I said, but I seem to have misplaced my credit card, but I can pay you in cash. They said, no, we can't take cash. You got to have a card. I want to know, what was cash suddenly illegal in America? They said, well, yes, sir, we got to have a card. Boy, didn't I have problems. Well, I finally had to call the Visa card company and get that guy on the line and let him talk to the manager there, and they discussed it and you know, and then the guy said, okay, we'll go ahead and do it for you. We got your number from the Visa company and we'll go ahead and give it to you. And while he was saying that, suddenly I felt my pocket and there was my card. It somehow got slipped into sort of a bad section of my pocket and I had my card. But for a while there, I thought I was going to have to walk to my hotel or hitch a ride. Revelation 13 says about that. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 16 will tell you about that. Sixth, as part of this international economic order, a sixth aspect of the New World Order conspiracy is we've already talked a little bit about this whole base of what we're discussing. Money. It's about money. It's a money conspiracy. But what that means is the conspirators will gain their wealth and riches by defrauding working people. They'll cheat people. They're not honest people. They don't make their money the old-fashioned way by earning it. They cheat you and me. They use finance, international trade, commerce, and all kinds of crafty language of lawyers to cheat people. They're just like Mr. Bernie Madoff. They're constantly involved in Ponzi schemes, big and small, taking your money. They'll also control the precious metals markets, the oil markets, the commodity markets. I'll tell you in a little bit how they're doing that today. Number seven of the list of the Lord of Money and the aspects of the New World Order that Rothschild has put together is it's based on occultism, magic, craft, witchcraft. They employ the tools of the craft. You know, I was reading an article in the Scottish Rite Journal published by the Scottish Rite, the largest order of Freemasons in the world. And the article, the author kept talking about the craft. How wonderful it is to be a member of the craft. Very, very interesting, of course. Because witches use that same language. And their evil black magic works, indeed, are called witchcraft. And the Freemasons say we're members of the craft, or brothers of the craft. It's also fascinating that this magic which they employ to seduce the masses in the book of Daniel is prophesied to occur. It says of the last days king or ruler, the Antichrist, we shall call him, that craft will prosper in his hands. Isn't that interesting? Magic, black magic, deviltry, witchcraft will prosper in his hands. And thus, with occultism, with craft, we get to number eight of the 10 aspects or characteristics of Rothschild, the Lord of Money, and his New World Order. Deception. Deception. Because they are deceived, the masses will go along with a plot by this elitist banking clique to usher in the New World Order. You read about that in Daniel, in Isaiah, in Revelation. Deception. No wonder they have such scathing scorn for conspiracy theorists. Ooh, you're a 9/11 truther. Ooh, you actually believe that Obama's not an American citizen? Ew. Surely you don't believe that 9/11 was an inside job. Oh, no. Surely you don't believe that elections are bought and sold in America. Oh, how terrible. You are a conspiracy theorist. These people are simply deceived. Friends, you and I are not conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy scientists. This is a science. We have the facts. We have the documentation. And they, on the other side, who reject this, are full of ignorance. Why? Because those in power, those who obey the Lord of Money and have the spirit of evil in their hearts, the spirit of occultism, part of the ruling elite who are using this mass hypnosis, who worship this strange god of forces, they have deceived the world. In Revelation 13, it says of this last day's beast, the whole world wonders in admiration. They admire him. And certainly Rothschild is admired around the world, as is all of his minions, Rockefeller and all the others. Okay, we're to number eight, deception. We have two more to go. I like one of the two. Which one do you think I like? Well, I hate all nine, the first nine, but I like the tenth trait. That's right, Tex Mars says, I like the 10th characteristic of the New World Order. I'll reveal what it is when we return in just a minute. And I'll tell you a lot more about what's going on now and why it affects your pocketbook. Whether you're an investor in gold, oil, whether you need money, or whether you have food needs. You do get hungry, don't you? Well, something's going to blow up real soon, I believe. You'll want to listen. Stay with me. This is Tex Mars, and you're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're examining, exposing Rothschild, the Lord of Money, and the world's richest and most wicked banks, as well as the White House pawns. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars again. You know, I want to offer you this book, Dark Majesty, that I authored. Dark Majesty, The Secret Brotherhood and the Magic of 1,000 Points of Light. Just $18. The book is 301 pages in length. You're going to learn all about the Order of Skull and Bones. I believe this is only the second book in the entire world that exposed Skull and Bones. The first book was by my good friend Anthony, Dr. Anthony Sutton. In fact, he gave me a lot of information for this book. And then right before he passed away, he sent me a lot more information about the Order of Skull and Bones. You'll learn about the science of mind control through this book, about magic, alchemy, illusion, the processing of humanity, the hidden persuaders, the secret brotherhood of destiny, world conspiracy. And in chapter 3, it asks the question, what international evil lurks in vaults of banks? You'll learn about the great work of the Illuminati, about the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the supermen of the Imperial Brain Trust. You'll take an unauthorized, it is unauthorized, believe me, peek inside the infamous tomb of the Skull and Bones Society. You'll find out what they're hiding inside. You'll learn it's more than just a fraternity. It is a good old boys club, but it's even more than that. All right. Dark Majesty. I also have another book for you. This book, by the way, is $18. Please add $5 shipping and handling. And then I want you to have my book, Millennium. You know, I wrote this book before the millennium. It's an old book, but it's still valuable, powerful. It was the first book. No, I'm going to give Willard Cantillon some credit, because I recall Willard Cantillon talked about the money, new money that was coming way back when. He wrote a little pocketbook. But I wrote a book around 260 pages myself entitled Millennium, Peace Promises and the Day They Take Our Money Away. I said there will be a new money, a global currency called the Phoenix. You see, I knew they would come up with this Amaro and the Euro, and there will be an Asian counterpart, and then they will all come together under the trilateral connection as one in the New World Order, a global currency. That's still planned. And they're still putting together their North American Union. And I said that would happen as well. And this was way before anyone else even imagined such a thing could occur. I said the new money will have a different color. You know, they had not changed the greenbacks in America for decades. Everybody thought the design was permanent. But they began to change things. They claimed it was to stop counterfeiting. But of course, that's bogus. It was to make our money look a lot in shape, design, and color like the money overseas. And you look at the new money, for example, the new $100 bill, if you can get a hold of one, and you'll see it's got colors to it. And a magnetic computer red strip inserted, a little metal, piece of metal hidden within the threads of the paper. Oh, yes, the new money is here. I talked all about it in my book, Millennium, Peace Promises and the Day They Take Our Money Away, how the foreigners would buy up America with the approval of the Illuminati elite that was controlling our government. The book really caused quite a sensation and a stir, and it was a big bestseller. Millennium, Peace Promises, and the Day They Take Our Money Away. And for $18, we'll send you that book as well. Is it 18, Jerry, on that book? 15, isn't it? Hey, 15. Okay, what a deal. Around 260-page book by Tex Morris for $15. Please, again, add $5 shipping and handling for either one of these books. Either Tex Morris Dark Majesty, $18 plus $5 for shipping, total of $23. Or Millennium, Peace Promises and the Day They Take Our Money Away. Just call it Dark Majesty or Millennium. That book now, Millennium, is only $15 plus $5 shipping and handling. To get either one or both of these books, phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us, send us a check or a money order or cash to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now you can go online and order either one of these books. Just go to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. com. Now let's return to our program. We're discussing the Lord of Money, who is really Satan, but he has a human agent, and that would be Lord Rothschild. Over in Britain at this time, he's called the fourth Baron of the Rothschild dynasty. I want to talk to you a little bit about Rothschild and his goals. Now, I've exposed before that Goldman Sachs is secretly owned the majority of the stock by Rothschild and other dynasty members of the Rothschild clan. Goldman Sachs is the most powerful bank in the world. Now, another bank that's powerful in America is called J.P. Morgan Chase. J.P. Morgan used to be an agent. Of course, he's long gone now, but he came, he went to New York City and working for the Rothschild clandestinely, and he set up all kinds of banking arrangements. He really was not a rich man, but people at one time thought he was the richest man in America. But really, all the money was owned by Rothschild. This man was just a worker bee. Nevertheless, there was a bank, J.P. Morgan's bank. And then, of course, Chase Manhattan was owned by the Rockefellers until recently. And J.P. Morgan and Chase Manhattan were combined as one. And now with this economic mess that we're in, they've taken over a number of subsidiary or smaller banks. I can't even remember them all. I think J.P. Morgan owns what used to be Washington Mutual. They own Wachovia. I can't remember. Everything's come together now. You see, they destroyed the banks that were not part of their system, many of them, and they have merged with them now. So Bank America, Barclays Bank over in Great Britain, and Goldman Sachs, all of these banks have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger by just gobbling up all the smaller banks that have gone bankrupt and out of business, forced. Lehman Brothers was forced out of business. Bear Stearns was forced out of business. So now we have just a handful of these gigantic banks that received, of course, trillions of dollars from our Secretary of the Treasury, Tim Geithner, who's under orders from Rothschild, as well, of course, as Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Fed Reserve, who also does whatever the Rothschild people tell him to do. Now, let me tell you how much power these people have. Before the crash of 2007 and 2008, the price of oil in America barreled up from, which is a good term, $32 to $147 in a few short months. Who owned 80% of the oil futures, who kept driving it up? It wasn't the little investor. According to testimony before the chairman and the committee members of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, it was just two banks that did it all. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley Bank. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, both affiliated with the Rothschild Network. They bought 80% of all the oil futures and kept driving up the price. And when it got up to where they wanted it, which was $147 a barrel, they turned around and quickly sold it short, and it dropped all the way back to the 30s once again within months. They made money going both ways. They did the same thing for the mortgage derivatives, the credit swaps, so-called, and broke the whole world's back. And we're still trying to clean up the mess today. Now, they did so by creating a commodities exchange of their own, owned by Morgan Stanley and by Goldman Sachs. It was created in London, England, and there it is today. It's called the International Commodities Exchange, or ICE. Now, recently, we'll just put the oil over here on one side. But without oil, of course, a country is nothing today. But there is another commodity that a lot of people in the Patriot and Truth communities, a lot of Americans believe could be their salvation. That would be gold. Gold. Seems that every radio show host now is selling gold. You can't turn on TV without them offering you gold coins or, you know, some gold exchange-traded fund or some kind of gold. Well, it's okay to buy gold. But some of these people will tell you lies. They will say, well, the big wigs, the big shots, the money men don't own gold. They cannot control the price of gold. It could go to $5,000 an ounce. You must own gold. You can escape the ravages of the New World Order by owning gold. To which I say, baloney. Nonsense. They control all the precious metals markets. All the diamonds and precious gems markets. And even the collectibles, art and so forth. The Bible says in James, that these wicked men will own all the gold and silver and precious things, markets, in the last days. The Bible tells the truth. Now, let's talk a little bit about the gold markets. It recently came out that just two banks control the gold futures markets. In testimony before the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the same CFTC commission, that is supposed to enforce the laws and make sure there are no monopolies or cartels, but they don't do this job. And would you like to know who runs the CFTC? Who is the chairman? Well, the chairman is a man named Gary Gensler. He's a Jew. And he was given his job, appointed for that position, by President Barack Obama. But Rothschild really designated him for that position. Where did Gensler come from? Was he just taken off the streets? Was he from the University of Virginia? Maybe a professor of economics or finance? Was he maybe the secretary of this or that for some state? Did he come from a corporation? Well, of course not. He was an executive with Goldman Sachs. And now he's having to oversee Goldman Sachs. And when he leaves his chairmanship of the CFTC, he will probably go back to Goldman Sachs or to Morgan Stanley or to J.P. Morgan Chase or to Bank of America or one of these other Rothschild-affiliated banks. Now, with new testimony, we find out in the last month, although I've known it for many years, but it was confirmed that there are just two banks that control the gold markets. And their executives meet every day, listen to me, every day and decide what the price of gold will be. Oh, you thought it was a market and people were buying and selling. Oh, they do, but that's just sort of penny ante change. The price is set in advance by two banks. One of them is, I said now, the oil now was Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. The gold is J.P. Morgan Chase. And get this now, a Chinese bank. Oh, they brought the Chinese into the New World Order, into the capitalist system. That's the synthesis, see? That's the Hegelian dialectic. That's the ordo ab cao. They have brought capitalism and communism together as one. Oh, yeah. Obama is a communist, but he's president of what used to be a capitalist nation. There's a synthesis going on, a mixture, a Grand Duke mixture. We're sort of the Cappy Commies, or the Commie Cappies. I guess we need to invent a new term together, folks, to call these men. Probably just the best one to get the old term up, fascist. That's sort of what they are. Read that in Webster's definition, you'll understand why I call them fascist. Well, this is monopoly capitalism, which is fascism, which would honor communism. As long as the rich are able to keep their own private property, they'll take it away from the rest of us. After all, George Orwell in Animal Farm, the pig said, everyone is equal, but some people are more equal than others. Now, how do they control gold? They consult daily, and they control the price. Think about that. When you buy gold, and you think it will, you know, if there's a tragedy in the Middle East, maybe a war, the price of gold will shoot up. Or you say, well, there's panic because of the Greece sovereign debt, or the euro going down, or the dollar going down, the dollar going up, gold's going to go up. Not unless they say so. Andrew McGuire, until recently, was chief of the trading desk for J.P. Morgan Chase Bank in London. He's the one that sat there, and the bigwig came to him and said, Andrew, every day, the bigwig said, Andrew, this is what the price of gold will be today. And Andrew fixed it on the world's markets. He was the chief trader of gold for J.P. Morgan and HSBC. Now, HSBC Bank stands for, those initials, that acronym stands for Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, HSBC. Read about it on Wikipedia or some other source. HSBC was a little bitty bank in Hong Kong, and then it got together with Shanghai, and now they've gobbled up about 50 other banks around the world. They're huge. And the commies over in Beijing told the big boys, we want a piece of the pie too. And the Chinese have always liked gold, yellow gold. They love it. People of the Orient seem to be drawn to gold. India, Burma, Thailand, Malaysia, Vietnam, China, they love gold. They do. An inordinate love of gold. Even the commies love it. And they wanted to get a piece of it. They want to set, you know, the price for it. Now you know why Red China has constantly been buying gold on the open markets. They may have more gold now stored in their bank vaults than any other nation on earth. India's buying gold up too. And the European nations in America have been selling their gold. Russia's been selling its gold. And China and India and other Asian nations have been gobbling it up. And the Chinese said, we own so much gold, why shouldn't we decide what the price is going to be? Now, isn't that just great? You know, whatever you own, do you own a car, an auto, a home? Wouldn't you like to set the price for it? Yeah, you say my home's worth $100,000. Well, I think it's worth $10 million. Give me $10 million. They have to do it because you set the price. Unless they want to live out in the street, they got to pay you the $10 million. This is sort of what HSBC Bank of Hong Kong and Shanghai is doing with the gold. And J.P. Morgan Chase is working with them on this. Naturally, through ICE, no doubt. International Commodity Exchange. That's owned by J.P. Morgan Chase and by Goldman Sachs. Now, Andrew McGuire had a little problem. According to Nathan Lewis, who wrote an article about this, Huffington Post, April the 9th of 2010, the article is entitled, It's Ponzimonium in the Gold Market. He sort of coined a nice word there. Ponzi, like Ponzi scheme, and monium, which is taken from the word pandemonium or panic. Ponzimonium in the gold market, with amazing revelations to the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the government regulatory agency. They held hearings, and it turned out that gold is being manipulated by J.P. Morgan, HSBC, and to a smaller extent, Goldman Sachs. Now, a group calling itself the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, or GATA, was able to work with this guy who was the chief trader. I don't know what happened, whether he was fired or quit in disgust, but Andrew McGuire decided to expose what he had been doing as a chief trader for Goldman Sachs. And let me tell you what he did. The way they were able to prove this is that GATA, this organization, it's the independent organization of little people, got Mr. McGuire on the phone with one of the top executives at the CFTC, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. And Mr. McGuire at that time was still working as chief trader for the bank over in London. And Mr. McGuire was able to tell him exactly what the price of gold was going to be. In other words, he said to the official, the regulator at CFTC on the phone, tomorrow the price of gold is going to be this. And the next day he called him up again and Mr. McGuire said, the price of gold is going to settle at this today. And the next day he called again and said, now the price of gold today is going to be this. And every time it was correct. So thus they knew that Mr. McGuire was telling the truth. He knew in advance what the gold price would end for that day. Interesting, isn't it? They set the price of gold. Now, here's something interesting for you. According to Mr. McGuire, their original plan was to eventually have gold reach the stunning price of $2,500 an ounce. Now, gold today is sitting at about $1,196 to $1,210, around $1,200 an ounce. If Mr. McGuire is telling the truth and he's proven he is a truth teller, it's going to double in price over the next couple of years. Now, their scheme has been, you know, exposed. Maybe they'll change it. Maybe it won't go all the way to 2,500. Maybe it'll only go to 2,000 or 1,500. I don't know. Be careful. But here's what something that Mr. McGuire said. When it does reach 2,500, the plot of the bankers is to suddenly turn it around and drive it down by selling it short furiously. Just go straight down. Whoop. There you go. So fast that people can't get out of the market. Everybody's trying to sell at the same time. And before you can get out of the market, the price has gone to almost nothing. People will be panicking to get out of gold. So friend, if you own gold and if you're fortunate enough for it to go up in price, don't be too greedy. Don't be too hoggy. Because someday they're going to turn it around and it's going to go down furiously. And you'll be left holding the bag. Maybe a heavy bag, but still a worthless bag. All right? This is what they did with oil. Did you know that Goldman Sachs, that was secretly driving up the price of oil? I read an article when oil hit $145 a barrel. Goldman Sachs analysts, and everybody trusts them. That's Goldman Sachs. Whatever they say must be true. They analyze the markets. They know what's going to happen. Well, the Goldman Sachs, they have an analyst for every commodity. They had an analyst for oil. And he put out a press release and said, oil is destined to go to $250 a barrel. Boy, everybody just wanted to gobble it up. It's going to go to $250. It's going to go to $250. Goldman said so. But it got to $147 and then instantly started going straight down. He sucked people in. They were buying, because Goldman says it's going to be $250. They bought it at $110, $120, $130, $140, $147. Bing. That was it. They're going to do the same thing, gold too. Right now, by the way, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, their analysts are saying, buy gold. It's going to keep going up. And you're going to say, oh yes, the bank, big banker analysts say it's going up. Okay. And it does. Because they're buying it up. And they're encouraging other people to buy it. And they're controlling the price. I'm not even so sure they're really buying. You know, they can just mark it in the computer. We bought gold. There is a huge gold, what is called an ETF or exchange traded fund. And it's the largest. And this fund says we buy gold and have it in house in our vaults. And then you can buy like stock in it, a portion of it. We'll give you a paper certificate or just an entry into your computer that you own part of it. What if they really don't have any gold? What if they're lying to everybody? They're just taking everybody's money. I think that's possible. I do. Watch yourself, friends. Some people are so frightened of this that they're getting the actual gold coins or gold bars, and they're storing them or hiding them or digging a hole in the dirt and hiding it. Well, watch it there. Somebody could take it. And, of course, they recently found out that some of these gold dealers are taking tungsten, which weighs about the same amount as gold, and electro gold plating the tungsten. And then it looks like gold, and they take a little assay of it, you know, scrape off a little bit and check it. They say that's gold, but it's really just thinly plated with gold. And it weighs the same as gold, but it's tungsten. And they've been finding these bars around the world. Wow. Watch out. Watch out. Here again, friends, don't fall in love with your money or your material goods. Don't fall in love with them. Fall in love with God. You can't go wrong there. He'll always be around. And you can't scratch the surface of him to see if he's real or not. He is. Believe me. Okay. Now let me tell you something that happened today. How much longer do we have, Jerry? 9 and 10. I didn't cover 9 and 10. Oh, let's go back to 9 and 10 of the 10 characteristics. I got all worked up on oil and gold and everything, but I'm glad I told folks about that so they'll understand how the real world works. 9, we covered deception. Number 1, global conspiracy. Number 2, Illuminist religion. 3, mass hypnosis. These are the 10 traits, characteristics, aspects of the New World Order conspiracy. Number 4, the ruling elite. 5, international economic order. 6, it's a money conspiracy. 7, occultism or craft. 8, deception. Number 9, crises and chaos. That's how they do well. They cause stock market crashes and booms. They do. They cause economic falls. They cause prosperity when they want to. And they start wars, bloodshed, conflicts. Bloody and devastating wars, plagues, hunger, oil shortages, pollution of the environment, nuclear catastrophes, if they have to. And they can really come to advantage in doing that. And in my book, Dark Magics, you'll see the Bible verses that apply. Then finally, the 10th one, the one I like, the 10th aspect of the New World Order. It's going to go down to a flaming defeat. I like that. That's the final aspect of the New World Order conspiracy. In the end, the conspirators will be totally vanquished because God has been and always will be in control. He allows the conspiracy to exist only to fulfill his will. Read about that, Philippians 2, Daniel 7 and 28, Revelation 19, and 1 John chapter 5. About to run out of time here. I did want to tell you what happened to the market yesterday. Today's what, May the 6th or 7th? Yeah, May 7th. May 6th. The stock market suddenly crashed. And in 5 minutes, it was down 1,000 points on the Dow. And then it turned around and went up and only ended down 343 points for the day. What happened? They said, well, somebody's fat finger accidentally landed on this wrong button. And instead of $15 million worth of stock, maybe he bought $15 billion or sold $15 billion. A lot of confusion. Maybe it was mechanical error, computer error. Now, let me tell you what they were doing, my friends. They drove the price of the whole stock market down because Citibank, which was about to fail, Citibank is one of the Rothschild network of banks, was about to fail, just like Lehman Brothers had. And it would set off a cascade of financial crises around the world. And they're not quite ready for that yet. They'll pull the plug someday, maybe soon. To save Citibank's skin, guess what happened? Citibank bought 1 million puts. 1 million puts. That's a bet that the stock market is going to fall. Puts against an ETF, an exchange-traded fund called SPY, with the symbol SPY. That's the whole stock market. They were betting the stock market would fall, and they bought, I believe Citibank did this now, 1 million puts. Somebody bought them. Had to be Citibank, in my opinion. And when the stock market fell 1,000 points in just a couple of minutes, they cashed in their puts, bought the stock at a dirt rate, cheap price, and then turned around. The stock market was allowed to go back up, and then they sold them high price. I believe Citibank prospered and made some $30 billion. And you know what? Obama didn't have to explain people why he was bailing out the bankers again. They just cheated millions of investors on the stock market. Not the big boys, of course. Not the very elite. The little people on the stock market took it in the shin. And Citibank, I believe, made up to $30 billion in 5 minutes. That's the way they do things on Wall Street. Wall Street, said analyst Gerald Celente, a guy that's usually pretty accurate. Wall Street is Washington, D.C., he said, and Washington, D.C. is Wall Street. But Rothschild is Obama, and Obama is Rothschild, and Satan is the Lord of Money and in charge of them all. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. So glad to be with you today. Tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.